All right, good to see you all this morning. Good morning. My name is Dove, and it's nice to be here. This morning, Ignacio, as we're driving here, he says, one of the most profound things I've heard in a long time, and maybe if you only hear one thing today, this would be the one thing to hear. And Ignacio said to me, God is big. And so I just want to declare that this morning, that God is big. And in your life, the challenges that you face, God is big. And in the chaos of this world that we live in, God is big. And in the shortness of this life and the hope of the next, God is big. May we trust Him. And so, amen. Yeah. So, anyways, I appreciate you all. I know my wife was scrambling this morning and people were helping and Sunday school got swapped out and guest book and just a lot of love and support. And I really appreciate you guys. And so next week we are going to not be here. The church will leave the building. And so I want to just talk a little bit about that. That kind of just spurred on what I want to share this morning. And so I want you to think ahead of time, what is the most beautiful church you have ever seen? I want you to think of that. What is the most beautiful church you have ever seen? And I'm setting you up a little bit. I saw an amazing church building in León, Guanajuato, Mexico, that they are still under construction. It's been being built for, 100 years or something. And it's super amazing. But this morning, the main thing I want to pass on to you is the root of that word church. In our language, church means, it means a building. You can drive by like, whoa, that's a beautiful church. It also means a time, a gathering, an event. I'll say that, hey, after church, let's go out to eat. It's like this window of time, that's church. But the original word church was neither of those. The original word church was a group of people. And so we are the church. This cool warehouse we meet in is not the church by the original. Obviously, I understand the English language has more definitions. And so sometimes I correct my kids. Like, are we going to go to the church? I'm like, no, the church is all over. They're in their houses. They're at work. We're just going to a building where the church meets. But I won't correct you guys. I understand English has many definitions. But the original word church was a group of people. And so we are the church. I want to just share about that. The church, I love the church. I love being part of the church. It is such an amazing thing. I think this gathering of people right here is more beautiful than any building I have ever seen. Any temple, any massive structure in León, anything. Right here, this is the beauty of the church. And so, why don't we pray and just want to look at what the church is. Thank you, God, for this morning. I just acknowledge that you are big. And what an honor to come together and celebrate you and to share life together and to encourage one another and to love one another and to be a part of your family. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your church. Thank you for what you're doing in and among us. I pray that you would continue to teach us how to trust you, in really real and powerful ways. And I pray even as we go out that we would bring light and life from this building into the community. And so please speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I usually don't think it's worth learning a lot of Greek words. It's mostly just a good way to kind of feel really smart. Well, technically the Greek in that is this word, but I do appreciate this word ekklesia, which I would say ecclesia. Sounds nicer, but anyways, it's ekklesia is the Greek word for church. And so the definition of church, ekklesia, is a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place, an assembly. Not even necessarily in a religious context, just a group of people, that's a church. And so the church is a group of people. And I want to pass that on. That's kind of the big idea today. The church is a group of people. And that could be from a few people in a home to the whole body of Christians scattered throughout the earth. We are all together, the church, as well as just with a small group as a church also. There's a number of places in the Bible where it talks about, here's one in Romans 16:5, greet the church that meets in their house. You can kind of get that flavor. If we think of the church as a building, it's like, greet this building that's inside of a house. It doesn't quite work out. But greet this group of people that meets in a house. So just people getting together in a house, that's a church. It's a group of people that came together for a specific purpose, to worship God. In 1 Corinthians 1:2, Paul writes and he says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. I think that's just a great explanation of the church. And so I want to share this morning, just kind of as a start, what I see as the big picture, the good news. In Greek, it's called the gospel. The good news is that God created a beautiful world. And he created us really beautiful, really amazing, in his image. And then people rebelled from God. And our original ancestors rebelled from God. And each of us inherited a certain amount of rebellion from God. And I'm assuming you felt that in your own life. A little bit of rebellion from God. I want to do my own thing. And this brokenness came into the world where even though the world is still beautiful and we are, there's brokenness. And this world is not the way it should be. And in the middle of that, God sent his son, Jesus, into all the brokenness to be a sacrifice and to take on his death what was due for all that rebellion, all that sin, all that brokenness. He took it upon himself. And then after he died, he was raised to life again to show that death is not the end, that it wouldn't conquer him, that there was new life available for all of us. And so the beauty of that message, and I think we should share that 1,000 times to ourselves, is that anyone by faith who comes and says, I can never be good enough, but I will trust in what Christ has done for me. Anyone who puts their faith in Christ is made new, receives that new life, receives that new risen life of Christ, where we are new. We have a new life inside of us by faith, and we will live forever after this life is over. And it's a free gift to anybody, just by faith. It's not by something we have to do or accomplish or anything. It's just, we just trust in the one who has overcome death. And I love what he's saying here. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctified means to be made holy. Those who have been made holy in Christ. That's the church everywhere. Anyone who has put their faith in Christ. So there's a number of analogies. I want to go through these. There's a number of analogies in the Bible that kind of look at what is the church. And so the first one is that the church is a family. So this is a metaphor, and I want you to think of a healthy family. So all of us have a certain amount of dysfunction in our families. And some of us have enough dysfunction that we don't even like this analogy. It's like, oh man, if the church is like a family, I don't want to be a part of that. But I want you to think of a healthy family. Hopefully yours was fairly healthy with whatever dysfunction it had. But we have been called into a family. Paul writes to Timothy, says, if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves. So he's gone. He's saying, hey, teach people how to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. So in that sense, all believers are brothers and sisters, which is pretty cool. We are in a family. And so as we go through these metaphors, I want to think about, what is it like to experience that? What is it like to experience being part of a really healthy family? And for my family, I really love my family. I feel really blessed by the family I was born into. And last year at Thanksgiving, my dad's family likes to get together. Last year there was 83 people that ate Thanksgiving together. And four of them were like friends of in-laws, so I didn't know them. But everybody else I knew. So like 79 people that I know and love and I feel totally comfortable with. I like to hug people, so I just gave hugs everywhere I went. 80 hugs. Cousins I know. It's like family is such a beautiful place. The experience I feel from a healthy family is it's a place of belonging. And I think that's what the church is. It's a place where you belong. It's a place where you're always included. It's a place where you're accepted no matter what kind of differences or what kind of things you have in your life. It's a place you can always come back to. It's a place where you always have support. Where if you send out a text and ask somebody, they're always there. Even if they can't give you their, they're going to pray for you. They're going to care for you. A family is a beautiful place of caring and inclusion. And that's that analogy of the church. That's what the church is. And I think sometimes that's where it stays, but there's some other pieces of the church. There's some other metaphors that I think are important and add to that even more. And the second is that the church is a body. Some of these metaphors are kind of difficult to wrap our heads around. Let's read through this in Romans 12, also in 1 Corinthians 12. It's describing what it's like to be part of the body. For it says, just as each of us has one body with many members, different body parts, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, who though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in according with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So just as our own bodies have parts with different functions, so together we form a body with many functions. And each part does a different thing. And it's actually really good. If your body was just all hands, it wouldn't be very useful. And likewise, if the hand said, well, I don't need to be a part of the body, I can just do my own thing, and you've got a hand flopping around over there, it would be very useless. And so it's this really beautiful metaphor of how together we are the body of Jesus. He no longer has a physical body on this planet, but we together form his body. We are his hands and feet and voice. And so as I think about what is it like to experience being part of a body, to me that experience is, first of all, that we need each other. We need each other. And I need you, and I'm needed. Whether or not I feel like I have any strengths or any gifts, or I feel like I'm amazing, I am needed for my part. And we all have something to bring. And in a body, the body accomplishes way more together than separately. And the same is true of the Church of Jesus. Together we accomplish way more rather than just individual parts doing things. Together they work together. The other thing it's saying is that Jesus is the head of the body. So he's the one that guides and controls and leads and coordinates the body to work together. And that's a really cool thing. Together we are accomplishing something collectively here on this planet, which is way greater than we could individually. The next metaphor is that the church is a building, but it's not the building where people meet. It's a building made out of people. All right, so this one Peter describes like this. He says, as you come to him, the living stone, he's talking about Jesus, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we are being built together like living stones to become a spiritual house. So each of us is kind of like a brick, and we're forming a temple, or we're forming this building. And so as I think about, what is it like to, what's that experience like to be a building? Like, and so in my mind, as I think about being a building, what is really important is what's in the building. It's not the building itself that's super important. And the building has been entrusted. It's been given a responsibility to care for and protect that which is inside of it. And for us as a building, we have been given some beautiful things that we have been called to care for and protect that are greater than us. One of those is the gospel. The message of God has been given to us to let people know that God has called them back. Whether they feel like sinners, whether they feel like outcasts, God wants them. Jesus died that they could come home, that they could be restored. And also, I'd like to invite you, if you've never really experienced that or know what it's like to put your faith in Jesus, I'd love to talk to you more. There's an invitation for all of us. But we've been entrusted with that message. God wants everybody to leave their rebellion, to come home, to be with him forever. Another thing that we've been entrusted with is the power of God, the Holy Spirit. We are a temple, individually and collectively, of the Holy Spirit. We are a temple of the power of God himself within us. And we are a container, we are a vessel, a broken vessel. We're a broken vessel with that ultimate power inside. The next metaphor is that the church is like an army. I guess a simile, for those English people out there. All right, the church is like an army. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Sometimes I'm very aware of this war that we have been born into. There is a spiritual battle that we cannot see, just raging full blast. We are in the middle of this war, and our battle is not against other people. Our battle is against these spiritual forces of darkness. And we don't fight with guns and bombs. We fight with spiritual power. And so we are like the army of God. And so as I think about, I have never been in the army. Those of you that have been probably have some amazing insights of what that's like to be in an army, especially in combat. But as an army, that experience to me is one of mission. You have a mission, and the mission is extremely important. And the mission is worth sacrificing for. And you know where you're going. And you're not just here to play games and be a family. You're here to accomplish something. And you're here to advance God's kingdom. You're here to go against enemy lines. You're here to gain ground. And in an army, I sense a great sense of camaraderie. You got each other's back. And you don't shoot each other in the back. You watch each other's back. And you look out for each other. And together you're going places. And I see that in the church, that we have each other's back. We look out for each other. Especially if someone's getting attacked. We pray for each other. We support each other. And prayer is one of those amazing weapons that we've been given. And we can sometimes discount prayer. Oh, I've prayed and nothing happened. But prayer is powerful and effective. And we've been given prayer as a weapon to continue to move God's kingdom forward and to support each other in that, because certainly an army of one, despite any movie, has very little value. The next one, the church is the bride of Christ. What an amazing truth that together we are the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5:25 through 32. It gets a little mysterious in here because he's talking about husbands and their wives and then kind of relays it. So I'm not going to go into that mystery a whole lot, but just starting in 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. Yeah, it is, even if it's just talking about people. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. Okay, that adds like a whole nother piece of mystery. That we are one with Christ. He's going back to the body. We are his body. And even as a married couple becomes one flesh, they, in the same way we are the body of Christ, one flesh. But then he goes on to talk about us like a wife, like a bride. What an amazing thing. So we are the bride of Christ. And as I think about what is that experience like to be a bride, I don't know what it's like to be a bride. I certainly have ideas of what I hope my wife feels or felt as a bride. And what I hope she felt, an experience of being wanted, an experience of being desired, an experience of being treasured, an experience of being like, this person is just head over heels about me. There's a sense of being beautiful, of being ravishing, a sense of making Christ's heart beat a little faster. There's a sense, even as it's talking about in here, a sense of being taken care of wrapping your blanket around someone and saying, hey, I'll love you and care for you and look out for you. In that amazing picture, that's how Jesus sees us, with this delight, and just, he's excited about us. And he wants to care for us and love us and be with us and make a home with us. This is such a beautiful picture, I think. And to experience that part of being the church. And so together these different parts kind of add to it. And I think all of us naturally probably gravitate towards some of the other. Some are like, come on, there's an army. We need to get going. We need to, yeah, that's true. But we're also a family. And we, you know, we belong and love each other. And we're also the bride of Christ. And we can just stop and be, just enjoy being in love for a moment. We don't have to accomplish something today. I want to throw out one more, just, it's not on your notes, but I was thinking about another analogy, is that we're a flock, which isn't the most exciting. We should stop with bride, but we're a flock of sheep. All right. And Jesus is the shepherd. In a number of places it talks about that. And that the thing I want to add from that I think is really beautiful, even though being called a sheep might not be beautiful, but it's a place of dependence. It's a place of just knowing that you're taken care of and that He will guide you and He will feed you. And that it's not about like being completely independent or self-sufficient, but it's a place of dependency. And so next week we are going to go out into the neighborhood right up above here. We're leaving the church. It's not really a church. Well, it is, but it's not. To be the church, because we are the church, whether we're here or not. And to be the church together, to bring love and light. And we're not even going to preach next week. We're just going to serve. And hopefully people will feel loved. Hopefully people will even just see within us that we care about each other. That was one of the things that attracted me to the church, was that people loved each other. It was a family. And I wanted a family. All right, so as we think about those different aspects of what it is to be the church, that's my hope, that we experience all of those and more, that we experience together a sense of belonging, a sense of being included and accepted and being part of a family, we experience that together our gifts work together to accomplish something. And making a difference in this world, making this world a better place together through our individual contributions. It makes me want to experience more that mission. We have a very real enemy and we have some very real weapons, and we are going to keep gaining ground. We're going to keep moving forward. We will not surrender. We will not allow the evil one. We will not allow Satan just to smother us and beat us down, but together, watching each other's backs, we're going to move forward. Gives me a sense of together knowing that even as we're a building, we have been entrusted with something extremely, extremely important. God's word, His gospel, and His power that He promised would never be wiped out from this earth. That He would build His church and even the gates of hell would not be able to overcome it. And that we are the bride, that we experience God being delighted with us, with God enjoying us, which is being in love. Enjoy being in love and being appreciated and cared for and to be dependent. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for this morning. I thank you for your power. I thank you that we could be a part of your church. Thank you for the mission you have for us. Thank you for what you've entrusted us with. God, I ask that you would teach us to be good stewards and to really work together, to live for something greater than ourselves, to have a sense of purpose. And I pray that we would be a really vibrant church. Thank you for your power in it. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for what you've given me in the church. Thank you for who you are. May your will be done. Thank you, Jesus, for buying us, for loving us so deeply. Thank you for delighting in us, that we're your treasured bride. In your name, amen.